Peace, this is Atan Thomas, and you're listening to WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Wondering how to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon, and I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. to talk about I don't know what. You know, maybe it's like the old Seinfeld show, right? A show about nothing. This show's not really about anything. I think it's for me, to be quite frank, it is kind of like my hour of relief for the week. Right. Oh, the anger and pent up frustration. You know, sometimes I get the yelling and going berserk and all that. And it's all because it is a stream of consciousness and a relief. And I enjoy it. And I say, I don't even think, you know, I just say whatever happens to come out. I don't even think about it. I say what happens to come out. And sometimes prior to the show, I will, you know, maybe take some notes. Sometimes I'll have a conversation with somebody, an email. Oftentimes I get emails from people who are listeners to the show, which I really enjoy. They email me. My email is garlandn@gmail.com. My first name and the first letter of my last name. And more often than not, the thing I'm glad about is it is emails of complaint and derision and, oh, you're doing the wrong thing, which, again, as I always say, that's good. That's a good thing. I think it is important for people to have debate and discussion. I think it's important for people to talk to those who they disagree with. I think the worst thing about politics in America is that we have, for the most part, we got three groups of people, I think, well, more than I will generalize into three. And that is two groups that think they're right. Right. And they think they're the only people in the room. Democrats, we're the only people in the room. And of course, we got the situation right. Republicans who like, hey, we're the only people in the room and we got the situation right. And then there are a whole big other group of people who see things various ways. Some that are maybe a little closer to the Democrats, some a little closer to the Republicans. And a lot of people who just say, I don't believe and I don't trust any of this crap. I think we have a common oppressor, as Malcolm X said. We got a common oppressor. That's where I am. We got a common oppressor. And so that's where we go from there. I'm not a Democrat, not a Republican. I see them as tools for a very evil genocidal colonialist machine. And I understand people who are still a Democrat or a Republican because I once was, you know, I once was there. I once had the belief. I once truly thought one was better than the other. No, one's worse than the other. I still saw them as, you know, almost like, I like to put it this way. If you look at a cat and you say, I see the feet of the cat and the tails of the cat, well, it's all one cat. But you can talk about the feet are better than the tail. No, it's the tail is evil. The feet, it's good. It's just a cat. And you're using language to dissect that cat and to turn that cat into a bunch of different pieces. You know what? You can use language to turn the evil U.S. empire, the colonialist empire, the genocidal empire. You can use language to divide it into 1,000 pieces. You can turn it into the Democrats and the Republicans, and then you can pretend that those pieces are set amongst each other in a fight, and they oppose each other, and one piece is better than the other, and you can use language to do that, unless you're in Palestine, and you're being starved, and you got no food, and then you can see you got a cat. You got one empire, unless you're in many parts of Africa and South America, and they're trying to overthrow your government and impoverish you and steal your resources. And then it's not Democrats or Republicans, because no matter what happens, every 4 years, the policy against you remains the same, oppression. And now many Americans are waking up to realize the same thing that people all over the world are realizing, that there is a common oppressor. And if you have the luxury of doing so, you can divide that oppressor into a whole bunch of pieces using language, and you can enjoy that. And then you can identify with one of those pieces of the oppressor. Well, I'm a part of the foot of the cat. No, what about you? I'm part of the ears of the cat. And then you can feel good because you're part of the good part of the oppressor. this oppressive colonialist genocidal regime. Your part, see, the part that you're, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican or I'm a whatever, you can then say that the group that I'm in doesn't really want to do it. They're better than the others. You can even get to the one less genocide camp, right? The one less detention camp. Hey, I'm a member of the Democrats and I'm a member of the Republicans. And you say, oh, yeah, well, the Republicans, they have 10 detention camps for people. What makes the Democrats better? The Democrats only have 9. We've got one less detention camp to put people in. Now, once we put them in there, do we beat them and oppress them? Is it slavery in that camp? And are we marching them off to the gulag to kill them all? Sure, fair enough. But we got one less than the others, so that makes us better. And the last thing you got left to argue about is which party has one less detention camp than the other. And you can always find a way. You can always find a way. And before I get to talking about just for a few minutes, the importance of keeping WPFW on the air, I'll have to always go back to this, you know, something that enlightened Frederick Douglass. And it's critical to always remember that analogy. Frederick Douglass said, you know, when he was a young boy of 8 or 9, he was at a local, you know, store, you know, someplace where, you know, they went to the into town and the slaves would get up things for their masters, whatever the case may be. And he saw two slaves set upon each other fighting. And he asked someone, what are those slaves fighting about? And he was told, they're fighting over which one's master is the richest and which one has the biggest house. Now, let me just go a little bit deeper into that analogy. The slaves at that time, to add to it, the slaves at that time in Maryland, Delaware, you know, a great fear that they had? A great fear that they had was to be sent down south because it was much harsher. It was hotter and it was, you know, they had all these rattlesnakes, things that they didn't have in Delaware. It was harsher. Supposedly the owners of the slave plantations were meaner and more, you know, fierce and violent. And so they didn't want to go down there. So they would, you know, tend to be more in line and tend not to fight back and do as much because they didn't want to get sent down. So they didn't want to get sold to Alabama or Mississippi, right? But then you had someone like Harriet Tubman who said, you know, I'll risk my life. I ain't going to be a slave. They're going to have to kill me here. I'm not going to sit around figuring, oh, I got it better here as a slave than I would down if I was Mississippi. I am escaping. She escaped. She came back and helped other people escape. And some of them was too afraid and wouldn't try it. But she risked her life. Why? She would rather die fighting. What Malcolm X say and other people say, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. She was not going to ever accept being a slave at any level. So she wasn't going to say one's better than the other. Ooh, this slave oppressor is better than that slave oppressor. Nah, that's where I am. That's the when I see with my own eyes Joe Biden, a vicious, violent, racist, genocidal monster. In comes Donald Trump, a racist, vicious, violent, genocidal monster committing a genocide right in front of my eyes. And I'm told one is better. Tell it to the Palestinians. Tell it to the Palestinians which one is better, because I don't see it. That's what I'm saying. And I will never sit around telling somebody and get in a fight with the next black man and say, hey, man, let me tell you something. If you think your master got a bigger house than mine and he's richer, we got to fight. That's not a fight I'm willing to have. I'm saying we need to be free. Not a white man either. Not a white woman either. Not nobody. I'm going to say we must be freed from oppression and the world must be freed from the oppression of a regime that would commit genocide against an unarmed group of people. I wouldn't care if they was armed. Murder men, women, and children. And I'm supposed to argue over who's better? I don't think I'm going to have that argument. I'm going to have an argument over how we can free ourselves from the mental, the spiritual, and the philosophical oppression that would have us view a genocide with our own eyes and somehow think that one of the genocidal groups, one of the genocidal monsters, should be, it's redeemable. That we should even have a discussion about that. That's a discussion that other people can have. But it's a sad state of affairs to me that in the midst of seeing the monster for what it is, seeing the demon for what it is, as it does this, that there are sadly people still left so far behind spiritually and emotionally that they're still caught in having a discussion that the demon can somehow be saved, that one part of the demon is still okay. Not to me. I'm sorry. So let me say, I think that's something important to say. That's how furious and enraged I am over not just watching a genocide, but watching the sad, pathetic, the paucity of discussion that we have in this United States, where people are still left clinging to a party, either party, any party of a system that shows you who they are right in front of your face. It's a sad state of affairs. But I think it's my job to say to people, you need to wake up. And when people will send me emails, I don't trust you, Garland. I think you're working for the Republicans or the Democrats or whoever, to which I say, good. If you're losing trust in this system, you're halfway there. You should not, whatever you do, don't trust me. You should say, well, Garland could be the FBI. He could be the CIA. He could be all of the above. Excellent. When you start losing trust in a system of colonialism, when you say, I don't trust anybody around me after what I've seen, you're waking up. Good. Don't trust me. Trust yourself. Do research for yourself. Look for yourself. And look, here's what I would say. Somebody, that's my email. I don't know if I trust you, Garland. I say, you watching these two so-called parties commit a genocide in front of your face. And the man that tells you, do not trust these lying genocidal monsters, that's the one you don't trust. Not the person that tells you you're being lied to. Not the person that says you're watching a genocide right in front of your eyes. Chris Smalls was a guy who worked for Amazon, and he started bringing the Amazon people together. You probably know the story, saying we need to stand up against these oligarchs, Bezos, etc. We need to stand up against them. That's what Chris Smalls said. He did good work. He didn't say, hey, if you're Amazon and you're a Trump supporter, or you're Republican, or you're a Democrat, or you're a woman, or you're gay, or you're straight. He didn't say that. He said, we as members of the working class are being oppressed by the oligarchs, and we got to come together. That's what I'm saying. And he brought people together to try to organize against the oligarch that owns Amazon. He got on a boat to go to try to bring food, to push back in. What did they do? They came to the boat. It was a bunch of white folks, and it was one black guy. What did they do? They took the black guy off. They beat him. They choked him, and they called him racist names. But yet neither party, the Democrats or the Republicans, can't seem to find a way to say this must stop. Oh, and the Democrats are always going to tell us how they're standing up for, we're standing up for the minorities. What about Chris Smalls? No. How about the Republicans? We're America first. We're standing up for America. Chris Smalls is American. If you're Republicans, he's an American. You got to stand up for him. If you're a Democrat, he's a black man, a minority, a group, a member of an oppressed group. You got to stand up for him. No, that's not happening. It's not going to happen. They will stand up for their evil colonial project that's committing genocide. But all that crap they're feeding us about America first, all lies. Standing up for the minorities, all lies. Don't tell me. Show me. Don't tell me you're standing up for Chris Smalls because he's an American. Show me. Don't tell me you're standing up for black, minority, gay, trans, this or that. Show me. And they're showing you. That's what I'm saying. They're showing you now when it comes down to it. When Chris Smalls does the decent thing that any human being should do and says, hey, man, I'm going to risk my life. He could have been killed. I'm going to risk my life because there's oppression going on. There's genocide going on. There's evil going on. When he does that, what do? They grab him and beat the crap out of him. Where are the Democrats and the Republicans? Either one. We stand for Americans. Oh, no, they don't. They stand for the owners and controllers of finance capital. That's who they stand for. Not us. Wake up. Now, I say all that to say this. Here we are once again. We find ourselves in a situation at WPFW where we are once again doing our summer fun drive. Late summer, it's August, we're doing a fun drive. And what is the fun drive for? It's to keep us on the air. It's to maintain the voices that can say whatever. If somebody wants to come on WPFW and say, yes, the Democrats are wonderful and the Republicans are horrible, whatever they want to say, as a person who takes the position that I take, and you know the position that I take. However, you know what's important to me? That all voices can be heard. Somebody could come on next and say, don't you listen to Garland? He's a fill in the blank. I don't care what they say, but I think that voice should be heard. In fact, it's a great thing. Good. Somebody should call in. Don't believe Garland. He's a low-life scumbag. He's all lying to you. Great. That's the debate that we need. That is the importance of WPFW. That is importance of what people are learning. Was supposed to be the First Amendment and supposed to be rules and supposed to be laws that we're supposed to go by. But the truth is people are learning that those laws are just there to give the pretense of order so that the working class believe that the laws are there. But when ultimately, the more we research, the more we find out that the laws are there for them to use to oppress us. But we don't really get those kind of, you know, First Amendment. They don't believe in that crap. None of them don't believe in it. The First Amendment's good until you start saying something that they don't like. WPFW is critical because WPFW allows a Garland Nixon to come on and say all kinds of things that the ruling elite will freak out. And then if you're, you know, inured to the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, or you think Trump is wonderful or Biden's, or most people now know they're both absolute garbage and the parties are trash. And the best people can do now is to try to go to the final argument. Yeah, mine is bad, but the other one's worse. That's the only thing left. You know you're being had when you are reduced to saying, yeah, well, I guess I do belong to a party that's in favor of genocide, but the other one's worse. That's all you got left. I love you. I got nothing for love for you once you get there. At any rate, it would be a good thing for you, for me, for America, for everyone. If you can call, the number is 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. It's incredibly important that we keep this medium, WPFW, a community radio station, that we keep this medium available for everyone. And you might love this show. You might hate this show. Either way, you know, I often believe the people that hate the show, it's more important that they listen. Back when I used to believe, I was a member of the ACLU, I was not just a member, you know, all of my ACLU history, right? I was worked for the ACLU. I was on the board of directors for Maryland and the national board of directors at one time, and I was really into the ACLU. And the ACLU, kind of like the Democratic Party. I didn't leave the Democratic Party, they left me. And the same thing happened with the ACLU. And I hope the ACLU, an important organization, comes back to its roots at some point, but I don't think it's there, but it is what it is. It still does some good things, but I got some issues with it. Right. But the ACLU used to have a saying, and it said, if you disagree with us, if you disagree with 25% of what the ACLU stands for, you should be a member. If you disagree with 50%, you should be on the board. Right. And that's the way I say, if you disagree with 50%, 25% of what Garland says, then you should donate. If you disagree with 50%, then you should become a sustaining member and become a monthly donor. Why? And all jokes aside, because it is important, I think, for people to understand the importance of dialogue and debate. And that's what they get here. I think people are surprised, too, when they email me. And they say, Garland, I think you're wrong. You're a liar. You're a creep. You're a Republican. You're a Trump lover. Or in some instances, oh, you're just a Democratic, whatever, Democrat apologist, whatever. Right. I have people who hate the Democrats who call me a Democrat apologist. And they call me everything. And I think they are surprised when I respond. And I thank them. I thank them for listening to the show. I thank them for feeling motivated enough to send me an email and to comment on what I say, to listening spiritually and philosophically deep enough that they feel motivated to comment, because that is the kind of person that once they wake up and realize they're being had is going to act. So I appreciate that. I ain't mad at them. I'll never be mad at somebody who says you're wrong. That is my ally. That is a person who thinks enough to, they're thinking about what I'm saying. They could disagree with it, but they're thinking about it. That's a good thing. And I think they're shocked when I come back and say, great, thank you for the email. I appreciate it. I really mean it. I really mean it. That kind of conversation is important in the mentality that says we have a common oppressor, and those who are angry at us and disagree with us and still hold on to some hope that some part of this oppressive, monstrous thing that some part of it can be saved. Some part of it is going to do the right thing. Need to be part of the discussion. And those out there who appreciate this medium need to do this. You need to go to 202, call 202-588-9739. That's 202-588-9739. There'll be somebody standing by and you can donate. And of course, as I said, an important part, we have our sustainer program. What does that mean? It means RMR, recurring monthly revenue, as they say in the business, cell phones and stuff like that. Why is that important? Because if you can give $20 a month, you may not have a lot. You may say, I ain't got that much money. I can do 20 bucks and that ain't enough. That means nothing. $20 won't help them. Well, you know what? If you become a sustaining member and all you can give is $20 and you are set down for $20 a month, that adds up. And if we get enough people doing $20 or $30 or $50 a month, whatever you can do, after a while, it gets to a point where that is sustaining. It is a sustainable number. And PFW can now say, you know, we can pay the bills each month. We can pay, you know, the things we need to do to keep people, to keep our, you know, employees, you know, they can feed their families and they can survive. So those who give a little, but a lot of people can give a little a month, who call 202-588-9739. Sorry about that. The brain was working on autopilot for a second. 9739 is the number you want to call. Can be a part of the sustainer program. Now, let me add this, and this is critical too. And now, on top of that, there are people listening who are, you know who you are. You got a good job. You may have owned a business. You may have inherited money. You're sitting there with a very, very nice chunk of money. You're sitting there and you're like, you know what? If I gave 100, 200, 500 or 1,000, some people could give thousands. They wouldn't even know it was gone. It's not how much they give because it wouldn't bother them. It's just that, am I motivated to do it? I'll say this to those people who can afford it and you know you can afford it and you got it and you're sitting here listening and enjoying the show. For those people who can't afford it, for those people who are homeless or near homeless who are listening to it, who don't want to lose WPFW, but they just don't have it. Make up for that. Make up for them. For those who can't afford it, call 202-588-9739 and say, you know what? I understand there's, you know, a bunch of people out here who would give if they could, but they're hurting right now and things ain't getting better. things are not going in the right direction, right? Perhaps you could say, you know, I got a few dollars that, you know, I can make up for. I'll do the right thing. And you may give 200, you may give 500, you may give 1,000, you may give 2,000, you may give 10,000. I don't know what you're going to give, but you know what it is and you know you can afford it. And you know, it's not just you giving. It's not just, okay, you know what, I'm going to give $1,000 to PFW to keep them on the air. It's something much larger than that. It's saying this is a community radio station. And in this community, I have an outsized economic ability. And you know what, that gives me an outsized responsibility. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take on that responsibility and I'm going to say there's a lot of people listening to PFW that ain't got much and they can't give much, but some of them are giving $20 a month because that's all they can give. I can give a lot more and I'm going to take on that responsibility. So those who can afford it, please take on that responsibility. Stand up economically for those who don't have it but deserve the programming of WPFW, whether it's the wonderful music of Robin After Me, whether it's the blathering on of Garland Nixon about two slaves fighting over which one's master's the richest, or, you know, we've got Caribbean, we've got African, we got all kinds of stuff going on here. Open phones for people to call in. Everything's there. That's not there in mainstream media. And we ain't getting money from the oil industry, the owners and controllers of global finance capital. We ain't get money from them. They can't stand us. They don't want you to hear what we got to say. 202-588-9739. That's the phone number. Please. call and make your contribution. We got people standing by. And of course, as always, I want to thank my main man, Kalia, for doing an outstanding job. He's the guy who's handling things. And really, you know, the thing about WPFW, you got to understand this. We have brilliant people that work here. We have, you know, hardworking people, highly qualified people. And, you know, let's face it, it's WPFW. A lot of these people could be making a lot more money working elsewhere with the knowledge and the technical ability that they have, but they have a dedication to WPFW. A dedication to the mission of WPFW. So please, 202-588-9739. That is the number. Let me continue and go back to what we were talking about. You know, I think the issue, I'll put it like this. You know, you've heard me use this term many times, deal breaker, right? And it's like this, and you've heard things like this. If somebody shows you who they are, believe them, right? What is that? What am I getting at? What are people getting to that, getting at saying when they say deal breaker, or when they say someone who shows you who they are, believe them? Here's what they're getting at. There's a term, boundaries. We have to have boundaries. You know, some people who have various emotional trauma in their background have issues setting boundaries, right? Have issues saying, you can do this to me, but if you go any farther, I'm gonna cut you loose. There are those who have trouble maintaining other people's boundaries, saying, I'm going to accept your boundaries, right? If you say, look, I'm not going to tolerate doing this to me, or you can't go but so far, they'll jump over your boundaries and do things to you that are unreasonable, that are not right, because they will not accept your boundaries. Usually, to be quite frank, people that don't have a good a method for setting their own boundaries and respecting their own boundaries don't have a method for respecting others' boundaries. Boundaries is a word, right? How much will I let somebody do before I cut them loose? Before I say, I ain't going to talk to you no more. I'm not dealing with you. I've said this. I remember growing up, you know, hanging out in my 20s, and we used to hang out at all kinds. You know, you go out to the places. Back then in Baltimore, there was an area called Fells Point, bars and nightclubs and places to eat. And you're in your early 20s. Why do you hang out there? Because that's where the girls are hanging out. You want to look at the girls, right? You're 23, 4, 5, whatever. That's what you're there. It's about, there's beers there. There's music there, and there's pretty girls there. What else for a 23, 4, 5-year-old man do you need in life? That's all you need, right? And you go there, and you hang out, and you have a good time. And I remember a person, you know, you go with various friends, and it was a person that I went with, and it seemed like every time we went out, old dude would have a few brews, and next thing you know, he was beefing with somebody. And at some point, I had to cut him loose. It was like, look, you know, I didn't say nothing to him, but I did say something to somebody else. I can't hang out with that dude. Watch him. Why? Because he's going to get in a fight. He's going to get you shot, stabbed, killed, and everything else. You know, it was like, this is doesn't work for me. Right? And it was a boundary. It was, look, I can hang out with you and we're okay, but if you're going to always regularly generate some kind of contention with somebody, at some point I say, hey, man, this is not a coincidence. And guess what? I can't hang out with, and that person will call me, what's happening, man? Let's go hang out. Ah, I'm busy this weekend. Truth is, I probably back then should have said something to him. Back then, in all honesty, you know, I wasn't honest. I should have sat down with that person as a friend. I was 20-some. I didn't know this, but I should have said, let's have a talk, man. Every time we go out, it seems like to me you get a couple beers in you, and you're getting, you know, chesty with somebody. You're getting froggy. Bruh, you can get us both killed. I can't hang out with you. I don't know, maybe at that age in life I was too weak. You know what I mean? I didn't have the intestinal fortitude, shall we say, the wherewithal to step up to a friend who I did like, that was a friend, and to be candid, right? To say to them, hey, man, this is a problem. Now, at this, you know, older age in life, it got to a point in life where I realized that was important, to be quite frank. When I got into law enforcement, when I started getting promoted up the chain in law enforcement, I started realizing, man, the only way you can survive as a, you know, a supervisor, an administrator, is to bring employees in at times and say, look, I got to be square with you. You're messing up, and here's how you're messing up. And that's really what woke me up to that. But at that time, I just cut old dude loose. I ghosted him, right? Not completely ghosted him, but when it came to hanging out, going to, you know, partying,
knew it wasn't happening there. But I wish I'd have known what I know now. But I guess I wouldn't have been me at that young age if I'd have known that. But my point being, again, it was a boundary, and I unknowingly set a boundary. And I think that's kind of politically where eventually I got to. And, you know, I don't want to beat a dead horse. My boundary was 2016. My boundary was Bernie. My boundary was I'm a Democrat. Bernie Sanders is running. I think I'm going to support Bernie. And when I realized that the entire party and all of its machines inside and outside of the party, MSNBC, CNN, everything around the party was conspiring to stop Bernie, I realized that, man, man, this whole thing's a fraud. And then when I started looking at the Republican Party, I could go to the Republican Party. You know, in 2012, I think Ron Paul was running. And in Iowa, I believe it was, Ron Paul, one of the Pauls in Iowa. And that guy won. And they announced that Mitt Romney won. Mitt Romney. I hope I didn't say Mitch McConnell won. It was a lie. And later on, they came out and they admitted, Ron Paul won, but somehow they simply lied. Why? Because who knows? They probably thought Ron Paul might get some kind of momentum going. He could win. And the party didn't want Ron Paul to win. They deceived their party. They lied to their party people, and they rigged the election so that Mitt Romney could win instead of the guy they wanted. Right. And all of that. And I remember saying, look at that. The Republicans are rigging their primaries. They're a bunch of liars and cheaters. And it was true. And then 2016 came, and the Democrats rigged theirs, and they were lying and cheaters. And that became a wake-up call for me. And then I started, once I got away from that, and I realized, man, these people, this is not about the parties. This is about the owners of the parties. This is about the financiers of the parties. And ultimately, they ain't going to let nobody have the key, have the wheels to the car if they're not one of the picked and chosen members. And somebody did and gave it a shot, and his name was JFK, and he got a shot. They killed him. You know, then Trump comes out, I'm going to let the Epstein papers out. And now in hindsight, here's what I look at. I'm listening. Oh, okay. Will he, won't he? But in hindsight, here's what I got to think. You know, Epstein died in 2019. Supposedly. We didn't even know if he's really dead, but we're told that he died. Let's say he did. Biden was there for 4 years. Biden wouldn't let no Epstein list out or nothing else for 4 years. Then Trump comes in and says, I'm going to do it. He was lying. He wasn't going to do it. Biden couldn't do it because the people that he worked for and the owners of his party are on the list. Trump can't do it because the people he worked for and the owners of his party is on the list, and some members of the party. Trump seems to me that he's on the list. Bill Clinton seems to me that he was on the list. Right. And the bottom line is this. Trump just lied. I'm going to do it. He couldn't do it. He knew it when he said it, but he didn't really care because he did what he had to do to get elected. And it didn't really matter because that's what politicians do in America. Because in the truth of the matter is, I was past that. I was like, you know what? These people work for the owners and controllers of the machine. And they're not the machine, and they don't even run the machine. And if they tried to go against what their owners want, they'd kill them, or they'd run them out of office. Let me give you an example. When you see these things that happened, I could go back to Watergate. If you investigate Watergate, why is it that the people who broke in to the Watergate Hotel were like all connected to the CIA? Did you know this? The people who were caught with the break-in in the Watergate, that broke into the Watergate Hotel, whatever, right? They were caught. One of them had $6,500 in sequential bills. They traced that $6,500 back to a bank called the Republican National Bank, owned by Edwin Safra. Did you know that was the same bank that financed the Iran-Contra affair? In other words, that was a black ops bank. That was a CIA intelligence, Mossad, MI6. That was an intelligence related bank. That bank was used to finance black operations for the CIA or the Mossad or whatever the case may be, or MI6. That's what that bank was used for, doing illegal criminal operations. And of course, the illegal criminal operations were done outside of congressional oversight. So it didn't have to, the money didn't come through the budget of the U.S. It came through criminal operations. these were the guys who did the Watergate break-in. They got their money from a special ops, black ops bank. In other words, the whole thing was the black ops. I've often believed that they took Nixon out, that the Watergate thing was something that was used to take Nixon out because there were people mad at him over a number of things, not the least of which being reopening business and relations with so-called Red China. He got taken out, every one of these things. And you know what? What happened with Nixon? What did they do to Nixon? They said, well, you know what? Tell you what, you resign and we'll forgive all your trespasses, right? We'll drop all the charges. Everything's dropped if you resigned. Now, Nixon knew the bottom line. There was one other option. If he didn't resign, there was another option. When the machine said to Nixon, you will resign, the other option is they will resign you in the same way they resigned Kennedy, right? So Nixon took the obvious option. Let's see, a CIA operation to unseat me. I can either be unseated or, I will be permanently unseated. So he took the wise option. There was no other option for him. But when you look at this stuff, you start to realize that this machine, look, the whole Epstein thing, what is Epstein? What is Epstein? It was an intelligence operation in which they brought in powerful politicians from all over the world, powerful. Look, they had members of the royal family. Now there's pictures of MBS, who is the crown prince, the guy who runs Saudi Arabia. But do you think that's an accident? You think it's an accident that various, at least two, maybe up to five, but at least at a minimum, two former prime ministers of Israel regularly went to Epstein's home in New York and visited with him? Because he worked for the Mossad and the CIA and the MI6, that it was a blackmail operation. And to me, that's probably one of the reasons they got Trump by the short and curlies. You think they didn't have Bill Clinton by the short and curlies? They got all of them by the short and curlies. Bill Gates, on and on. They can't do but so much because they got pictures of them. All of them. And we're supposed to argue over Trump versus Clinton because they're two different parties, versus Biden versus whoever, Bill Gates versus the Koch brothers. That's what we're left to argue about amongst each other, the working class people, those who have a common oppressor. We're supposed to pick from various members and various factions of the groups that are oppressing us to decide which faction of the oppressors we are aligned with. I'm going to align with the blue faction. Well, I'm going to align with the red faction. I'm saying I ain't going to align with any factions of the groups that are oppressing us. Sorry. I have boundaries. So let me continue. I got to get back to this, and it's important because we are in fund drive. As I have that conversation that I think is an important conversation, a conversation that's not a blue versus red conversation. It's a green conversation, and that green is money. It's all about the money, brother, and it's all about how the ruling elite can extract what little you have and continue to fill their pockets and move it to, some Caribbean island that has no banking laws. And things just keep getting worse for you. You can keep fighting over the Republicans and the Democrats or whoever, whatever. Keep fighting over them. Things are going to just keep going downhill for you, and they're going to keep extracting more and more money. And when they look at the U.S. and they see the U.S. is about to collapse, it's going down, they're going to say, what do we need to do? The U.S. is falling apart. Well, let's steal every last dime before it falls back. That's all they're doing now. They're saying, oh, it's going to collapse. What do we do? Let's steal every last penny. We got to get the last penny before it collapses. That's the game. Anyway, but there are some, there is an oasis, shall I say, in this desert of debate, in this place where there is no political debate, where you only get to decide why you support, which party you get to join in to support a genocide. Which one do you want to join in to support a genocide? Well, you get to fight over where the slaves get to fight over whose master is the richest and whose master has the biggest house. Where the slaves get to get that fight, you get to do something very important. You get to listen to WPFW so you can have a debate of people who feel that we have a common oppressor, of people who may not agree with me. That's good, too. Listen to them, too. I hope so. Somebody comes on and says, that Garland Nixon's a fool. Don't listen to a word that he says. Excellent. Exercise your brain. You get that opportunity on WPFW. You don't get that opportunity on Fox, on CNN, or MSNBC. No, they all got some CIA-sponsored, military-industrial-complex-sponsored crap where they're going to have some former general who don't tell you that they're on the board of directors for General Dynamics and Lockheed Martin to tell you why we should go to war with some other evil country because we're the good guys. why you should believe whatever party that that particular media outlet represents, why you should believe, don't believe somebody who tells you you're being lied to and had, took, hoodwinked, and bamboozled, whatever, you don't believe that person. That's what you get on mainstream media. WPFW, get a debate. So we need you to do this, and it is critical. We need you to call this phone number. The number is 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. We need you to call that number, and we need you to donate. We need you, if you can become a part of the Sustainers Program. That's very, very important. Even if those who don't have much, those who don't have a lot, or, you know, guess what? This day and age, you can be making good money and still can't afford much because it's cost so expensive. It's getting so expensive to live, and it ain't going to get cheaper. You know, over the 4 years of the Biden administration, inflation went through the roof. And then Trump runs and says, vote for me and I'll help increase inflation. No, he ain't. Inflation's going up under him and it ain't going to stop going up. It ain't going to stop. So even if you're making good money and you listen to and you think that the people who are making more money, these people who own these corporations or are paid by corporations, you think they're mad about inflation? That allows them to raise the price on you and make even more. They're thrilled about inflation. If you think one of these groups is going to save you, good luck. Well, it's getting expensive to live. And so therefore, a lot of people are struggling and things are a little bit tighter. Well, some of those people and some of the people that are listening can afford to call 202-588-9739. Say things are tight, but WPFW is important. So I can give 20, 30, 40 a month, 50 a month, whatever it is, maybe 20 a month, whatever. But I can afford to be a member of the Sustainers Program. That's important. So people that can afford that, do that. People that can afford whatever you can give, 50, 100, 150, do that. But there is a group, an economic class, dare I say, who's listening. And you know what they can afford to do? They can afford to give $200, $500, $1,000, $2,000, $5,000. They can afford to give a lot, and it won't bother them because they're doing pretty well, doing really, really well. And I say to that group, I say, you are very important. And you're important in saving the world. You really are. You really are. You're very important. And one of the things, you're really important to waking people up. You're very important to the conversation and the debate. Why? Because you can give enough money to make a difference. You're critical. And you sit around and you ask yourself, what can I do? I'm just one person. Well, you can afford to give $200, $500, $1,000, $2,000. What can you do? You can do that. You can do that. You can call 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. You can call that phone number and you can say, hey, you know, I was listening to Garland and hey, he's great. I love him. Or, oh, he's terrible. I hate him. But he's part of a debate that is important. And I want to ensure that that debate continues. Therefore, I'm giving $200, $500, $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, $10,000. I'm giving a large amount because I'm one of those people that can make a difference. And I'm one of those people that will make a difference. 202-588-9739. Also, don't forget, there's another option. You can always go to WPFWFM.org. We've got a donate button there. And you can go say, you know what, let me just, you know, I don't necessarily want to call or whatever, but let me go to WPFWFM.org. You'll go there, hit the donate button, and guess what? You can accomplish the same thing. Now, you might want to talk to the person because sometimes people, I do get people who donate and they'll say, tell Garland I said this. Tell Garland thank you. Tell Garland I don't like him. Tell Garland something. Tell Garland I listen to your show. Tell Garland something or other. I have people that'll make a big donation and they'll leave their phone number and they'll leave an email address and say, hey, tell Garland I'd appreciate it if he'd call me. And I'll call him and thank him. Hey, Joe Schmo, I certainly appreciate it. That's really wonderful. It's wonderful what you're doing to help WPFW and to help the community. So feel free to do that. The number is 202-588-9739. People standing by now. Or, of course, you can go to WPFWFM.org and hit the donate button. But, of course, if you want to donate, you know, you want to hear a voice. You want to get some feedback. Hey, this is so-and-so. You want to hear a voice. You want to hear a live person. 202-588-9739. That's important. That is critical. Thank you very much. Now, let me continue. I think that America really is at an interesting point. And it's let me just say this. I think we are at a boundary point where the truth about colonialism is being unmasked. Here's what I mean. You know, and you know, forgive me if being redundant, but I think it's important to say these things almost weekly. You know, for so long, what we've heard from the U.S. empire, and when Biden was in charge, he was the face of the empire. Now Trump's in charge; these guys are nothing but the face of the empire, right? They're like a quarterback, right? The quarterback don't own the team. The quarterback does not draw up the plays. The offensive coordinator, right? The coach, they draw up the plays, they create the plays, and they tell a quarterback, execute this play. And the quarterback executes the plays. So to say, it's the quarterback's fault. Well, sometimes the quarterback makes a mistake and the quarterback can decide where to throw the ball or something, but he don't come up with the plays. He's got a list of plays that have been given to him. And then he has a specific play that's been given to him. If the quarterback don't execute the plays that he's given, he'll be replaced by another quarterback. That's the way I see it. He's not the coach. He ain't the owner of the team. If you want to know who's in charge, you first look at the quarterback. But above him, you got the offensive coordinator who tells him what plays to run. But above him, you have the coach who has the ultimate say. And above him, you have the owner who could fire the coach and offensive coordinator. Right? There's people above him. So we get mad and we blame the QB when they lose. Or if they win, we say, look what the QB did. But there was a lot behind that. My point being, that's the way I see, to some extent, the president. And I don't even see the president as having as much authority as the QB. He can decide which receiver to throw it away. I look at the president. Even the word, think about it, president. He presides over something. He didn't run it. He's not in charge of it. He presides over a system. And now that system is being, it's becoming clear what that system is to those who didn't already know. To those who believed that, well, back when the system first started, it genocided the Native Americans. It enslaved the Africans and genocided them. That was a long time ago. That was then, this is now. It was different then. No, this is the same system. And my evidence is it's doing the same thing. It's committing a genocide now. And I mean, right in front of our faces, and just saying, yeah, we'll commit a genocide, but for a couple of reasons. Number one, there's nothing you can do about it. Number two, you're so brainwashed, we can still get you to argue over the same things you argued about before you watched us commit a genocide in front of your face. We'll still get you to argue about which genocidal group is better. We can still get you to do that. And we believe it. They got faith. They believe in their propaganda. They believe in their media propaganda machines, that if they give you things to believe, you'll argue about them. They believe that if they give you some enemy, external or internal, why, if you're a Democrat, they'll give you Russia or somebody, China, whoever. They're the ones. My gosh, everything would be wonderful if it wasn't for some evil group way over there, 6,000-7,000 miles away. They are the bane of your existence. They're the one causing your trouble. It's Putin. If you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, it's, guess what? Immigrants, these evil immigrants, they're doing everything to hurt you. Why, they're taking your jobs of picking grapes as if you're a grape picker. Look, the whole immigration thing was a lie. It was all a lie. It was all a fraud. It still is. It's they're giving you someone who has less than you have and telling you that's the problem. They're giving you somebody on the other side of the ocean, the other side of the sea, saying that person is your problem. You know why? It's a fake out, because the people that are telling this that are your problem, the people who are on MSNBC, CNN or Fox, those are the liars. Those are the propaganda monsters and the puppets of the ruling elite who are leading you down the path of destruction. But it's got to be Putin. Oh, it's got to be Assad, or it's got to be Maduro, or it's got to be immigrants. It's always somebody. They always, you know, the ruling elite have made who was it that made the decisions to send all the jobs overseas and to move the corporations and to close the factories all over America so they could send the factories to China or to Bangladesh or to Vietnam or wherever they could send those factories to Haiti so they could pay the people less. They're going to charge you the same, if not more, for that item, but they're going to pay those people next to nothing. Who made that decision? Was it Putin? Was it the immigrants? No, it was the rulers, the owners and controllers of this globalized capital, finance capital. They made the decision to send your job overseas, to fire you, that you were now going to lose everything. They made a decision to say, you know, we think we've decided to go from an affordable college and higher education system to an extremely expensive higher education system, and then we'll lend you money. So the rest of your life, you'll be paying for it. So we will have, again, what is the definition of debt? You will have a debt. What's the definition of debt again? A claim on future earnings. These are the people who sent the parents. They closed your factory. They sent your job overseas so they could make a greater profit. The children, they took away the opportunity for you to have an affordable education so they could lend you money and put you in debt and lay a claim to your future earnings. And now these people will tell you it's Vladimir Putin and the Russians that we got to stand up against. It's the immigrants that we got to stand up against. It's fill in the blank. It's Hamas. It's Iran. They always got somebody. The people who clearly, openly, right in front of your eyes, made the decision to make your life a living hell and to condemn your children to debt for the rest of their lives that they couldn't pay. They're the ones who are trying to convince you to look at everybody but them. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My job as a human being is to point that out to you. Whether you choose to accept it or not, it's fine. If you still want to sit around arguing over Trump versus Biden, red versus blue, Democrat versus Republican, you can have that argument if maybe you're comfortable with that argument. Maybe that's an argument that makes you comfortable. Maybe to sit down, it's uncomfortable to sit down and say, yeah, you know what? Ew, boy, they did do that. And now they're giving me an enemy, and I'm accepting that enemy. And that enemy always happens to be thousands of miles away, or that enemy doesn't speak the language and they're impoverished. Let me tell you something about immigration. The ruling elite set the system up for illegal immigration. They set that system up. Why? Because they want illegal immigrants. They want them so that they will have a class of impoverished, desperate people. And you know what they can do? They can pay them next to nothing. And they can't go to the police. They can't go to OSHA and say, hey, we've got unsafe conditions. No, they keep that. And when Trump lied, when Trump said, oh, I'm going to get rid of the immigrants, that was a lie. Because his economic class of people benefit off of that. And now they can give their party something for you to fight about. Oh, yes, we stand for the immigrants. Look what Trump's doing to the immigrants. If you look at the pure numbers, in Trump's 4 years, he didn't deport more people than Obama. Obama just didn't talk about it. They all did the same thing. It's just that none of them talked about it. Trump just lied. I'm going to take care of the immigrants and that. And guess what happened? This was, you know, unbelievable. Within 3 or 4 months of Trump being in, Trump comes in and says, hey, you know, I've got some of my rich business friends have said, you know, I need these immigrants to pick grapes and stuff. So we ain't going to be so hard on the immigrants. So know what he does now? He does a few big, like, production things where they grab some people. And then they grab some people from a job or off the street or something. And then that gives the working class something to fight about. Now the Democrats and the Republicans, just average person on the street, can fight over immigration. That's terrible what they're doing. Oh, no, we're doing the right things. But he really ain't doing, when it comes to all the numbers of immigrants, he ain't immigrating the people that work for his. He ain't going down to the places where his rich friends employ immigrants and grabbing them and all sending them back. He ain't doing it. Not happened. Never was. The whole thing was a lie. But they always have a method to keep us fighting. And when it comes to foreign policy, it is clear the United States overthrew the government of Ukraine. so that they could destabilize Russia. So eventually, Russia has more oil and gas and everything than anybody else. And it was like, hey, we'll do this and destabilize Russia, and then we can take over Russia. We can get rid of the in charge, and we can steal all their stuff. That's what it was about. The problem is, it ain't going to work. The problem is, Ukraine always was going to lose the war. And now they're trying to convince you we have to stand for Ukraine. Well, my God, Ukraine is a disaster. It's a mess. It's been torn to pieces. And so they can just tell you Putin's evil. Let me tell you, I'll say what I always said. Putin smootin'. If I, Garland Nixon, with a president of Russia, and the United States came to my border with Ukraine, I'd smash them to pieces too. And if I was the president of the United States and Russia and China suddenly started building bases in Mexico and said, we're going to put in missiles and we're going to build troops and we're going to stand up against the United States, I'd attack Mexico and blow them to smithereens. There, if you understand great politics power, whether it's Rome or Greece or anyone else, any great world power will never allow another world power to come to their border and start building bases. That's going to be a war every single time. They may be able to brainwash you into believing that somehow Russia should allow the United States to start building bases in Ukraine, and oh, we're standing up for the Ukrainians, but it's a load of crap. And you, let me tell you something, they may be able to brainwash you into believing that somehow the United States should keep pumping weapons into Taiwan, which is literally a province of China. The time's going to come when Taiwan's going to blow everything to pieces, and China's going to blow everything right out of Taiwan and take Taiwan too. And if China and Russia decided we're going to help Puerto Rico get freed from the United States will go to war. Any country, any great power will do that. Great powers are never going to allow another great power to come to their border. But if you still think there's some good to one of these parties and the United States is around the world committing a genocide in one place but standing up for freedom in another place, boy, you got a long ways to go, brother. If you think we're committing a virtual genocide, a veritable genocide in one place, but somewhere else we're doing the right thing, if you're still there, I don't know what to tell you. You got a long ways to go. Anyway, we're just about out of time, so let me just say this to you. It is critical that we have these conversations, these political conversations. It's critical that those, look, let me give the number again, garlandin@gmail.com. That is my email address. Feel free, garlandin@gmail.com. Feel free to write me an email, to debate, to criticize, to disagree, to agree. I think that is healthy. And that's what WPFW is for disagreement and debate. Let me say this. What is critical is we are in fund drive. It is very important that anyone and everyone who listens to that show, who can afford it, who can squeeze something out, who got a few extra bucks, calls 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. It is very important that you call that phone number. We got a few minutes left, and call them. And if you only got $20 that you can do, you can go a part of our sustainer program and say, I'm going to do $20 a month. But there are those out there, I keep saying this, who can do 1,000, who can do 100, who can do 5,000, who can get 250 or 500. Those people really have to do what they need to do and make up for the people who are struggling right now who just don't have it. Thank you very much to my main man, Kalia. Thank you very much for the next show that's coming up, Robin Holden's outstanding show with great music, one of my favorite shows on any channel that I listen to. You got you from the rantings of a madman, Garland Nixon, to really fantastic, excellent, outstanding curated music. WPFW is awesome. 202-588-9739. Thanks to my main man, Kalia. Peace. I'm out. We'll be right back.
It's gonna set you free.